We continue our learning Leili Nishmas Dovid Bemenach Amudah Shem Chav Yaakov Bepinchas Elio. We're Masters Paragimel Mishnah Tess. Gefen Shehina Tua Bechatzir. We're not speaking about figs anymore. We're speaking about vines. And the vine is planted in a courtyard. So I'd like to know whether or not the chatzir is mechayiv in masros. Do I say that there's riyath pnei abayis and I can no longer eat from the grapes and achilas aray till I separate masros? The Mishnah says, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, if I have a vine and it's planted in a chatzir, no tail is kol eshkol. I can take and pluck off an entire cluster of grapes, v'chein berimon, and an entire pomegranate, v'chein bavatech, and say so too when it comes to a melon. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. What is the Mishnah telling me? So we spoke about when it came to figs, let's say the fig tree, we said that when is the Chi of Masos begin? When I form a collection, I have a pile. Well, we said that's 2 units of produce. So that's when the chatzir, if I don't take one at a time, but rather I take 2 or more. So then, now the fact that it's in a chatzir, so that begins the chiyuv of masros, and I can't have eat on a chelas aray till I separate masros. Rabbi Tarfon is coming to tell us when it comes to grapes, we look at a cluster as 1 unit. We look at a pomegranate as 1 unit, and we look at a melon as 1 unit. And therefore, even though let's say the pomegranate has many seeds, or the cluster of grapes has many grapes, or the melon has, we've mentioned in past, has many servings, you cut up into many pieces, he says, no, you're allowed to detach an entire cluster of grapes, a whole pomegranate, a whole melon, and eat it as an achilas aray, a snack, without separating masros. You don't have to take an individual grape at a time, an individual seed of a pomegranate at a time. That is Rabbi Tarfon's position on this, that an entire cluster is 1 unit. Now, we've said in the past that when it comes to, let's say, selling, we mentioned one of the things that's mechayiv in Masros is the fact that there's transaction going on. There's going to be a sale. So in the second perek in Mishnah Vav, we said a cluster of grapes or an entire pomegranate are considered a pile, are considered a collection, because they're made up of many grapes, many seeds, etc. So does Rabbi Tarfon disagree in such a case? So the Mefarshim say, no, he would agree with that. Why? At least according to one position. The difference is, when we speak about a chatzer versus selling, which one is mechayev and masros more? So the assumption here is that, yes, when it comes to an act of buying, it's true, and the chatzir itself, they both obligate produce in masros, but we consider that the act of buying something has more significance in being mechayiv in masros than when it comes to a chatzir. That being the case, so we could understand why when it comes to buying something or selling something, when it comes to produce, that's mechayiv in masros, even to a greater extent than bringing produce into the chatzar. And that's why when it comes to masros, I consider an entire cluster or a whole pomegranate will be mechayiv in masros. As opposed to here, says Rabbi Tarfon, it's not true when it comes to a chatzar. A chatzar has less of a chiyuv, is mechayiv less, and that's why Rabbi Tarfon says, if you have a whole cluster, you don't have to worry about the fact that it's in the chatzar. Even though when it came to buying and selling the produce, you did have to worry about separating masros when you had a full cluster or a full pomegranate. Why would that be so? So we would say, well, when I buy something, so that is considered like the seller is basically finished the production of the produce to a greater degree than when it comes to a chatzar. However, there are other mefarshim who say it's actually not so. If anything, a chatzar is mechayiv in masros more than buying and selling. Based on the pasuk v'nasasoda levi lager v'layasom avanav achlu bisharecha refers to the gates of your courtyard, which implies that the chiyuv masros takes effect once it enters into the courtyard. And yet, there's a question in Maseches Bava Metzia, the Maharam debate whether the chiyuv of chatzir is a chiyuv de'oraisa, just like a house, Or maybe it's only Chiyuv Derabbanan, based on an Asmachta, and it's only a hint in this Pasuk, or support from the Pasuk. But nonetheless, we, based on the fact that the Pasuk does speak about Bisharecha, referring to the person's Chatzer, so that's a greater Chiyuv than that of buying and selling. So the conclusion we have to draw is that if Rabbi Tarfon would tell me that when it comes to a chatzer, we telling me I can take an entire cluster, an entire pomegranate, then he certainly would say there would be no chiyuv of separating masos if I take a whole cluster, a whole pomegranate when it comes to buying and selling that produce. So in fact, Mefarshim say, yes, indeed Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with what we learned in the second parak, and would say that you don't have to take one grape at a time and one when it comes to buying and selling. A full cluster is also acceptable as considered one unit, and only when you take two clusters or two pomegranates do I have to begin to worry. Why does Rabbi Tarfon not argue over there? Because he argues over here. I learned the Mishnah over here, and I know Rabbi Tarfon not only disagrees with the Tanakhama when it comes to a chatzer, he disagrees with the Tanakhama when it comes to buying and selling as well. Okay, Mishnah continues. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Megarger Bo Eshkolos, Uporek Barimon with Sofes Bavatiach. Rabbi Akiva makes no distinction between the courtyard and buying and selling. He says, cannot take off a cluster, cannot take off a pomegranate, cannot take off a whole melon without separating masros, but megarger boishkolos. You can have one at a time, and uporek barimon, have one scene at a time, and Sofes Bavatiach, and you can break off, you can have one slice of the melon at a time, and then you don't need to separate masros. But once you have more than one, so then, like the Tanakhama we've learned in the past, you would be chayv to separate masos. Kuzbar, coriander. Kuzbar is the Aramaic translation of God. Kizra God, when it comes to the mon, was the size of coriander seed. So kuzbar, shizrua b'chatzah, which is planted in a chatzah. Now, kuzbar, coriander, is generally grown for its seeds, used as a spice. The leaves are really not the ikar, are not the fruit. And therefore, generally, they're exempt from masos unless you planted the coriander seed specifically to use the leaves. So the Mishnah is telling us that there are certain restrictions when it comes to eating coriander leaves, as we'll see, in a case where I specifically planted them with intent to use the leaves. And that's almost the chiddush of the Mishnah, to teach me that if I have kuzbar shizrua b'chatzer, it's planted in a courtyard, mikartem ole oleva ochel, you're allowed to pluck one leaf at a time and eat. Vimtzei Rav Chayev. But if you join them together as a group, as two at a time, you're going to be chayev. And the chiddush here is that even though this is typically not planted for its leaves, since you did have that intent, it follows the general rule of the other foods, the other produce as well. Hasia, v'ha'eza, v'ha'kurnis, shabachatzer, savory, hyssop, and oregano in a chatzer also. So here we're speaking about these items which were not actually planted, but they sprouted on their own. And the fact that they're bichatzer, they're already in the courtyard, is the chiddush of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is teaching us, im hayu nishmarin, if they were protected. And it's telling me that if the owner has intent for them to be protected in the courtyard, he doesn't want other people to come and collect them. So he shows that he's not considering them hefker. It's as if he cultivated them himself. So the fact that he's not, he's interested in them and is not mafkir. So the Mishnah says, im anyu nishmarim, if indeed he had that in mind, they're going to be chayv. We mention these specifically, the savor, the hyssop, the oregano, because in a chatzer, because when they're in an orchard or in a gina, in a garden, so there they're usually exempt, even if they're protected, because they're often used for animal food. And if they're intended for animal food, they're certainly exempt from masros, because we know only food that's used for human, that's intended for human consumption is chayv in masros, as we learn all the way to the beginning of the Maseches Masros. So, When I have these plants, if I grow them, let's say in a courtyard of a house where the person who owns the house usually can follow them and pick them, so then it's understandable that they're grown for that purpose. Grown in gardens and orchards further away from the house, he can't check them on a regular basis. So we assume that they used as animal food, and they wouldn't be chayv in masos. And therefore, even if they were protected in a gina, they would not be chayv. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Really, is twofold. Number one is that the sia azov and kurnis, the savory, hyssop, and oregano, number one, are shebechatzer. They grew in a courtyard. And number two, nishmarim, they're protected. The owner wants them. He's there to protect them. So that is the chiddush of the Mishnah, that they're going to be chayev in masros before you can eat an achilas arai. There is no mention here about plucking one at a time, because these are generally not put into a pile anyway. So that distinction that we're between between one and two is not mentioned at all. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud. Te'ena she'omedes b'chatzer. V'no telegina, I have a fig tree. It's standing in the courtyard. So that we've spoken about. But the branches are leaning over into a garden. So the question is, what's the status? Are we going to figure out, do we consider the tree that it's in the courtyard, and therefore there is a chiyuv of masros that's triggered because it's roe p'nei habayis? Or do we say no? The fruit that I'm eating happen to be leaning over, or not in a chatzer. They're in a gina in the garden, so maybe I don't have to worry about it. So the Mishnah says here, ochel kedarko potter. Again, tena, fig tree. She omedes bechatzer, standing, the trunk is in the courtyard, but venota legina, but its branches are leaning over into the garden, and I'm eating from those branches, from the fruit, the figs that are in the leaning over on the branch in the gina, ochel kedarko, and potter. If I'm standing in the garden, I could detach as many figs as I like on that branch that's overhanging and eat them as achilas avai without separating masas at all. Right? We would have thought maybe, oh, well, the tree is in the courtyard and that establishes its the chiyuv of masros. The answer is no. It's when the tree is completely in the courtyard. Here I have the branches. And when it comes to masros, the focus of our attention is not where the tree is, but rather where the fruit is that I'm eating. And that's why the figs are not in the chatzah. They're leaning over and they're now in the airspace of the gina. So ochel kedarka, as many figs as you like without separating masros. Omedes bagira v'nota l'chatzer. So then we'd understand the next case, of course. What if it's standing in the garden? The trunk is in the garden, but v'nota, but it's leaning over, it's overhanging into a chatzer, so the fruit is now in a chatzer that I'm eating, then ochel achas potter. If I eat one at a time, I'm exempt from masros, because I didn't make a collection of them from mseraf, but if I join them together, two or more, then chayev. Next halacha, which relates to a tree leaning over, omedes pa'aretz, venota l'chutz l'aretz. I have a tree, and it's standing in Eretz Yisrael, the trunk, but it's overhanging into chutz l'aretz, or bechutz l'aretz, v'not l'aretz, or vice versa. So haloch hakol holech acharikar. Here we follow where it's deriving its nourishment. We follow the trunk, the ikar of the tree. We know that areas outside Eretz Yisrael generally have a chiv derabanan anyway in the laws of trumos umasos and shmita, etc. We've mentioned in the past. So practically, I mean, not much of a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lares, but nonetheless, whether there's a chiv d'oraisa versus a chiv d'rabbanan, there may be practical differences between them, cases of suffek and maybe others. So because of that, it's important to know whether or not we give it to the status of Eretz Yisrael, this tree, or Chutz Lares. So we follow the trunk of the tree. That is the general halacha. That's what determines where the tree is, where it's deriving its sustenance from. There is an interesting question. The Gemara Bava Basra Daf Chavav speaks about the fact that when I plant a tree, we assume that the soil within 16 amos radius is already receiving nourishment from that tree. We have this question about a person plants a tree in his rishus, so the person who's next door should not be planting a tree within 16 amos of the border of the other tree, because it may be deriving nourishment and it may destroy the tree. So we see that it's not just where the tree is, but 16 amos around. So there's a question about that. Why should it matter if the trunk is right up against the border of Chutz Lares, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, but maybe we should consider the 16 amos radius around the tree to be deriving, let's say, nourishment from both Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? Why should it matter where the fence is or the border is? So there's a question about that. A simple answer would be, let's say it's a rocky area, it's not deriving sustenance from more than the area that immediately surrounds it. There may be other ways to explain this Mishnah. Maybe the halachos would be different with respect to the laws of Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz regarding mitzvahs hatulos baretz versus a person neighboring properties. Mishnah continues with vatei orichoma hakol olachachar oikar. Another halacha where this is important. I have a tree and it is in a walled city from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and its branches that were leaning over into an unwalled city, so we give it the status of a walled city. Why is it important? So many people think that the difference between a walled city and an unwalled city, the only area of halacha where we have this is when it comes to the reading of the Megillah. Not true. This is found in Parshas Bahar. The halacha is when you buy, if you have a house, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, in a walled city, so the halacha is that in the first year after the sale, the seller has the right to be goel to redeem the house. He can pay for it and he can get it back. That's the rule. But if he doesn't do so then after within that first year, after that year, it's latz misus. It's now forever in the hands of the buyer and it doesn't even return when it comes to Yovel. When it comes to that's a tremendous chiddush by what we call batei orechoma, houses in a walled city. However, when it comes to an unwalled city, the halacha works that you are not permitted to redeem within the first 2 years of the sale. The halacha is, once again, when it comes to fields and houses that are not within a walled city, so they get, once again, you can't redeem them within the first 2 years of the sale. That's the general rule. And let's say they're not redeemed later. Let's say you didn't decide to redeem them after those first 2 years. So the halacha is that they go back in Yovel anyway to the original owner. So here it's very different. So I'd like to know, if it's true, I'm talking about a tree, I'm not talking about a house. Guess what? The halacha applies not only to houses, but to other property as well. There is a debate amongst the Tanaim whether this applies to a field, but based on our Mishnah, we see that the author certainly believes that it applies to a tree. And it's telling me that I follow the ikar. Where's the trunk? If the trunk is in a walled city, so then the person who sold it has a year to redeem it. And then, if not, then it doesn't revert back to him in Yovel. And if it's a tree, if the trunk is in is in the unwalled city, even though the branches may be leading into the walled city, nonetheless there, you can't redeem within the first 2 years. And after that, you have the ability, but it does revert back, in the year of Yovel. Over Ari Miklat. This is maybe the most famous Erev Halacha. People who are in Maseches Makos are familiar with this, where we're speaking about a tree. And here the Mishnah says, interestingly, HaKol Holech Achar Hanof, everything follows the branches, the overhang, which the Gemara assumes doesn't mean only the Nof, only the branches, but even the Nof. Meaning, we take both into account, both the Iker, the trunk, and the nof and the branches, regarding what halacha. So we know that a person who kills b'shogeg, person who kills someone by mistake, is supposed to run to the Eir Miklat. And the Goel Hadam, the Avenger of the Blood, has the right to kill the Rotzeach if he steps foot out of that, out of the city of refuge, out of the Eir Miklat. The question is, where is this all happening? So the Mishnah is telling us we have a tree. It's located on one side of the boundary of an Eir Miklat. And the question is, does the entire tree provide protection for this Rotzeach B'shogeg? Because the person within the Eir Miklat obviously has the protection. So the Mishnah is telling me, HaKol Olech Achar Hanof, which means that he has this double protection, which means whether he's under the trunk of the tree, let's say the trunk of the tree is in Eir Miklat, for example. So we say, oh, if the trunk of the tree is in Eir Miklat, so then if he's under the trunk of the tree, he's certainly okay. But he's even okay if he's under the nof, under outside the city, because the nof is also taken into account, right? In certain cases, this is Rav Ashi's explanation of the Mishnah, right? It doesn't mean we only classify the tree by the nof, by the branches, even the Mishnah says. It's even so. In certain cases, the entire tree will be defined by where the trunk is. In other cases, where its branches. We want to be strict, and we want to protect the person either way. So by doing so, if I have a trunk of a tree, let's say within the boundary of the Ir Miklat, and the branches are outside, the tree will follow the trunk. And therefore, even the branches which are outside will provide protection for the rotseach. But if the trunk is outside the boundary and the branches are inside, so the tree is considered based on its branches, and the relatives can't kill the murderer while he's on the trunk, even though it's outside. So here, it depends on, either way we're strict, sometimes it's the branches that act as astringency, sometimes the trunk as astringency as well. And finally, Yerushalayim, HaKol Holech Achar Hanof, when it comes to the city of Yerushalayim, the same thing, we also will define this as not only the branches, but even the branches. When it comes to Yerushalayim, and I want to understand, when it comes to the din of Maaser Sheni, so Maaser Sheni, we know either you bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, eat it there, or you redeem it outside Yerushalayim, bring the money there. Once Maaser Sheni has been brought to Yerushalayim, so you're no longer able to redeem it, unless it becomes Tameh. So here we have Maaser Sheni, we have a Chumrah and a Kula. You can't redeem it once it's brought to Yerushalayim, but you're allowed to eat it. But Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim also has a Kula and a Chumrah. You're not allowed to eat it, you're allowed to redeem it. So the Mishnah here is talking about a tree that's partly in walls of Yerushalayim, partly outside. So the same thing when it came to Ir Miklat. We're going to treat it a little bit both and follow L'chumrah. And therefore, you can't eat. Let's say you have a case where the branches are within Yerushalayim and the trunk is outside. So what happens if the branches are in Yerushalayim and the trunk is outside? You're not permitted to eat outside Yerushalayim the Maaser Sheni, which you had redeemed while you were on the trunk outside the city. Why? Because we define the tree based on where the branches are, and if the branches are within Yerushalayim, so then it's like in Yerushalayim. And of course, you can't eat Maaser Sheni that had been redeemed while you were on the tree's branches, which are actually in Yerushalayim.